Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I want you to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Let me share the scripture with you. This is John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace do I give it. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let your hearts be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That passage that I just shared with you from the scriptures, from John chapter 14, comes from Jesus' sermon at the Last Supper. Now, you have to understand that at the Last Supper, this was his last night on earth. The cross lay before him, the sufferings, the torture. He knew that that was going to be happening the next day. And in the midst of all his turmoil, in the midst of all his distress, in the midst of all the trouble that he was going through in the depths of his heart, did you hear those words? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Oh, in the midst of all the turmoil, we're talking about the passion and the suffering, that this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. And Jesus not only has peace, but he's giving his peace to us. And I want to tell you that in the midst of any situation that you're going through right now, you can have peace. It was Paul the Apostle who wrote these eloquent words, and he wrote them to the Philippians, and he wrote it while he was in prison. He said, "May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus." So think about that. You know, when you're in prison, and some of you are watching me from prison, and I appreciate hearing from you. I've heard from many of you in prisons throughout the United States. When you're in prison, I've heard that one of the worst things that people tell me about being incarcerated is the noise. There's noise in the morning, there's noise at night, there's people shouting, there's banging, there's swearing, there's clanging doors, and it's very hard. Well, in the midst of that prison, Paul said, "May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding." See, you can't conjure it up. It's a gift. That's what Jesus said. "Peace I give to you." May that peace guard your minds and hearts. Keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. I'll be on the road and I'll be talking to people and counseling people, and they'll say, "Father, I had an operation, and right before the operation, I had this peace, and I don't know where it came from." Well, I knew it was from God, but I couldn't conjure it up. That's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Or you might be going through a relationship problem, or you could be going through a physical suffering, or you could be going through an addiction, whatever it is. It's amazing how God can give you peace right in the midst of any storm that you're going through. I was preaching in Lafayette, Louisiana recently. I gave a couple missions there, and I've given many missions in Lafayette, and I love going to Louisiana, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, and Lake Charles, and Lafayette. Well, I was staying at a pastor's house there, and when I was staying, I just went to take a little walk outside because I love going outside and just taking walks. And as I went outside and I was walking down the street, all of a sudden these two dogs came out of a house, and the gate was open. Somehow the gate got left open, or the dogs were thinking the dogs with their nose punched the gate open. And these two dogs accosted me in the street. Now, there I was in the street, and I'm standing there, and one dog was really big, and the other one was only medium-sized. And as I was fighting off that one big dog, that other dog bit me in the right leg. Now, I have to tell you, during that whole turmoil, I had to go to the hospital, and I didn't have to have stitches, but I had to have a tetanus shot and antibiotics, because I had already had an operation on my knee and had to make sure that didn't get affected. And it was a whole, you know, I was trying to preach that afternoon and everything. I had to preach an hour after I got bit by that dog. And I have to tell you, in the midst of all that turmoil, in the midst of all that storm, I had a peace that was amazing. I preached that afternoon, an hour after I was bit by that dog, and you wouldn't have known it. The homily that I gave was wonderful. The people didn't know that I just got bit by a dog. Now, you have to understand something about me. I see a snake, and I'm like, ah! I go into a panic attack. Or if I see a spider, I'm like, ah! I lose my breath. And here's this big, two big ferocious dogs with their fangs, and one of them bit me, and I didn't even have a heartbeat that was fast. See, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that's what that was keeping me in Christ Jesus. So I didn't get all flustered. I had a whole mission to preach that next day. Sunday night, I'm in the hospital, and I was at peace. Some things, you know, you just can't control. And I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through right now, maybe it's not a dog, but maybe there's some type of a storm, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your mind and your hearts in Christ Jesus. This is our gift. Jesus died for us to have peace. He gave us this as a gift because he didn't want us to live all frustrated. He didn't want us to live all panicked. He didn't want us to live all bent out of shape. He wanted us to live in peace because where there's peace, there's power. Where there's peace, there's strength. Where there's peace, there's a new power to live with passion and fortitude and achieve your dreams and your goals. You know, even in a hurricane, there's peace. We've had hurricanes in this area in Houston, and Hurricane Sandy hit New York some time back. And, you know, the winds can lash about 150 miles an hour, and the waves can get kicked up about 40 feet high. But just underneath the waves, just underneath the surface of the sea, you don't have to go far. Tranquility and peace and calm. So maybe there's a storm being kicked up in your life right now. And sometimes Amy Grant sings a song. She says, sometimes we make it harder than it is. In other words, sometimes there's just little stuff in our life that we magnify and we kick up and we make it a storm. Well, just underneath, there's peace, and you can find it. Why don't you choose peace today? Jesus gave you that gift. He wants you to have it. He died for you to have it. He gave it to you on the last night of his life. Why not live in peace instead of all flustered and bent out of shape all the time? So you remember the story of Jesus, and he's in a boat and he's crossing over the Sea of Galilee. We've all heard that story many times. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I studied in Israel. And I remember when I was going out in the boat one time crossing the Sea of Galilee, I was talking to the captain. The captain told me that, yes, there are storms that suddenly kick up. They even have a name for them. They're called sharkias. And what happens is the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by hills. What happens is the storms kick up off the desert, off of Syria, and they come and they're sucked down onto the Sea of Galilee. And a huge violent storm can come out of nowhere. Thunder, lightning, huge waves. This is what's going on in the midst of this storm in the Sea of Galilee. And the apostles are all frantic. You know, they're trying to bail out. They're screaming, they're yelling, and where's Jesus? He's in the back of the boat asleep. And what does that tell me? That you can have peace in the midst of your storm. Remember, he got up and what did he say to the storm? Peace. And actually the word in Greek is be muzzled. It's as if Jesus was talking to, remember I was facing those dogs and I had to fight those dogs off? It was like that storm was a raging dog coming at him. And Jesus said, be muzzled, peace. He literally cast his peace into that storm. And I'm praying today as you watch this, he will cast his peace into you. Would you receive peace today? I know you're storm-tossed. I know you have stuff going on in your life. But don't let the storm get in you. The storms are going to rage. Everybody has them. There's divorces. There's relationship problems. There's physical sufferings. There's addictions, there's turmoil, there's traffic, there's all kinds of stuff. Don't let the storm get in you. Live in peace. I love peace. I crave peace. Peace is my delight. One of the reasons why I go on retreat, and when I go on a retreat, I go in a place that's far away from everybody, far away from everything, that has silence and quiet, peace and quiet. I love just being quiet and praying. I love going to national parks, you know, with the waterfalls and the flowers and the birds and just meditating and walking. One of the reasons why I like to play golf because it's physical activity and you go outside, but one of the reasons why I love to play golf is simply because there's peace. It's like a park. You're on a golf course. I love being out in the green grass. I love seeing the squirrels and the possums and the animals running around, the birds flying, because it brings peace. Nature mediates peace. I'm a lover of peace, and I know that you are too. In heaven, and this is what we're told in the scriptures, that peace will flow like a river. So there's many storms in life, and what we have to do is allow the peace of Christ to guard us and to keep us. And I think one of the greatest storms of life, it's not just the wind and the waves, and it's not just dogs chasing you. One of the greatest storms of life have to do with relationships, because we can't control other people. And we're all in interaction with all kinds of different people, family, relationships with coworkers, community members, all these different people in our life. And they all have their own will. They all have their own mind. And sometimes they can agitate us and irritate us. You ever seen a washing machine when it's on agitation mode? That's exactly how relationships can be. They can agitate us. And that leads to us losing our peace. Well, I get a number of emails from especially women, and it's prayers. They'll say, "Father, pray for my husband. He's an alcoholic, and he's abusing me. He swears. He drives me crazy. Pray for him to change." Well, of course, you know, I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe that God can change anybody just by moving his finger. But most of the time, and we know this, God doesn't change people like that. God will help people to face their issues, to face the alcoholism, to face that disease, to face whatever addiction that they're going through. But here's what I tell people that email me, "Oh, Father, change my husband, pray that my husband change." I email them and I say, you know, your husband may change, but more importantly, and this is the wisdom of the 12 steps, ironically, you need to change. I know you're not the one drinking, I know you're not the one addicted, but you're being affected by the disease. You're allowing the storm to get into you. And what happens is you become codependent on your husband's drinking and his moods, and you're not happy anymore, and you're all flustered and upset because you can't control him. And what you need is serenity. The wisdom of the 12-step program says that you can't change the person that's addicted. They may change. Hopefully in time they will. But rather than trying to work on them, you've got to work on yourself because you're the only person that you can control, to some degree, with God's help. I teach a lot about prayer. I remember I was in New York teaching some time ago, and I said, "What do you think the number one prayer is?" And everybody raised their hand, "The Our Father," and they were correct. Billions of people during the course of a day pray the Our Father. Well, what do you think the number two prayer is, prayed prayer? I think it's, people were raising their hands and saying the Hail Mary, and I think they're correct. I think the Hail Mary is prayed all throughout the world by billions of people, especially Catholics. Well, what do you think the number three prayer is? And that's where I had a little trouble. People weren't quite sure. The number three prayer, see if you agree with me, it's called the Serenity Prayer. You've heard about it, by Reinhold Niebuhr. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." See, that's such a beautiful prayer, praying for serenity in the midst of the storm. Courage to change the things that you can, and wisdom to know the difference. Let's talk about the storm more. I heard about this man who was, he loved peace, and he was very wealthy. And what he did is he had a contest. And in this contest, he employed all these different artists to try to draw the best portrait of peace. And so he had this contest, and about 100 artists submitted their portrayals. By the way, the winner was going to get $50,000, so everybody was trying their best. So they submitted all these portrayals of peace, and there were all kinds of pictures of peace. Well, the rich man boiled it down to two. He was the final judge. And the two pictures he thought that looked the best about peace were these. Number one, a mountain scene. Few puffy clouds, few birds flying overhead, beautiful lake, the placid picture of peace. And then the other portrait was another mountain scene, but it wasn't so peaceful looking. The mountain had a jagged, rugged, cragged peak, and over the peak were these dark, angry storm clouds, and out of the clouds were bolts of lightning. And because of the thunder and the lightning, there was a torrential downpour, and there was water rushing and gushing over the top of the mountain. And if you look really closely, underneath the waterfall was a bush, and on the bush there was a nest, and in the nest there were two birds asleep in the midst of all that chaos. So the man looked at the two portraits. There's the real placid-looking one. There's the chaotic-looking one. And he looked at the both, and he said, this is the one that wins, the one that's all chaotic. Because he said, peace isn't the absence of storms. Rather, peace is tranquility and serenity and calm, like those two little birds, right in the middle of the chaos. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, Jesus said. He bequeathed it to us. It is his gift. He died to give us this peace. And I want to say a few words to you right now. Don't get all flustered. Don't get all bent out of shape. Don't be overwhelmed by life. Peace, serenity, calm, tranquility be yours. Shalom is the word in the Hebrew. Peace be with you. May the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. You know, I love to go to gardens, and gardens are places of peace. I put on my book, Thy Kingdom Come, a garden. It's a garden in Portland, Oregon. And in this book, Thy Kingdom Come, I have a whole chapter on peace and prayer and all kinds of different things that will really touch your heart. And so I want you to think about tranquility as walking through a garden. Remember in the beginning, the book of Genesis, they were in a garden, the Garden of Eden. Perfect peace. As I said, peace will flow like a river. And so we're not in a garden right now. We are in what the Bible says, the great tribulation. And what Jesus said is, in the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. Speaking of tribulation, I remember when I was in college, I took a friend for a ride. You know, we took him to the school, and I got out of the car, you know, locked my door, and off we went to class. I came back from class, and I looked, and on the parking lot, right on the ground, right by my car, there was a cassette tape all unraveled. And I go, what in the world? That's my cassette tape. And I looked. I had had a cassette player in my glove compartment with all kinds of little cassettes in there. And what happened is the friend that I took to school didn't lock his door. Somebody came. They went in, opened the door, got my cassette player, took my cassettes, except for one on the ground, and the wires were hanging there. I got ripped off. I got stolen from because that door was open. There was a wide open door. And I will never forget how I felt. I felt like everybody was watching me, like the thief was watching, and I didn't know who. I never found out who did it. Well, it's interesting. Jesus in the scripture says that the thief comes to steal and destroy. And who is the thief? The thief is the devil, Satan. Maybe you don't believe in the devil, but I can tell you, I assure you, he is real. And he wants to break in and he wants to steal from you. If he can't steal your salvation, he wants to steal your peace. And what we do is we let him do it. You know, we give him a wide open door. You know, there's traffic, there's agitating people, there's physical sufferings, there's storms in life, and we just let him take our peace. And you have to understand that with peace, there's power. You have to understand that deep within, if you have tranquility, you can operate and live in power. And when you give your peace away, what you're doing is you're giving your power away. Don't let the devil steal your peace. He's a thief, he's a robber, and he wants to break in and steal your peace. Don't let him do it. I, one time with my mom and dad, we visited my sister in Washington, D.C. My sister lives in Maryland, right near Washington. One of the places that we went was a Smithsonian Museum, and I loved it. I had never been there before, and we saw the moon rocks, and we saw all these spaceships, you know, the science building. Then we went over to the entertainment building. You know, the Smithsonian is a number of different buildings. We went over to the building where they had entertainment. We saw all these memorabilia from all these old movies. And one of the old movies was The Wizard of Oz. And in this glass case, I saw these sequin red ruby slippers. Remember, Dorothy had the red ruby slippers that she wore during the movie The Wizard of Oz. If you remember correctly, the good witch gave her those shoes and said that these shoes have the power to take you home. Well, the Wicked Witch of the West wanted nothing about this. She wanted those shoes. And remember what happened when the Wicked Witch of the West came to Dorothy and tried to take the shoes? When she tried to take them, she went for the shoes and zzzz, she couldn't take them off. The only way that those shoes could be taken off and given to the Wicked Witch of the West was as if Dorothy took those shoes off and gave them to her. And that's exactly what we do. You see, the evil one wants to take our shoes. That's what the scripture says. It says in Ephesians 6, stand against the evil one with the shoes of peace. And those shoes of peace will take us home. And the devil wants to take them off, and he tries to, and he can't. You know, the only way that he can get them is if we give him the shoes. And I'm telling you, don't give him your shoes of peace. Those shoes of peace, just like Dorothy, are meant to take us home. Those shoes of peace are your gift. You have them. Remember, peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have peace within you. Don't give it away. Don't let the devil steal from you. Don't give him your shoes of peace. They're too valuable. And I have to remind myself of this over and over again. What I've done is, you can see I have these sequin shoes. Somebody sent these to me, the ruby slippers. And I put this right on my bookshelf, and I paste it right there to remind me, Cedric, don't give your peace away. It's too valuable. So I want to proclaim to you what Jesus said to us all. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart. Don't be just watching all these TV programs that are, you know, going to get you all bent out of shape and all flustered and help you to lose your peace. Guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? Watching good TV programs like this, listening to good music like Lorraine Hess that will be following, John Michael Talbot, Come to the Quiet, read the Bible, read good spiritual books like I have, like Thy Kingdom Come, where I talk about peace. See, you have to cultivate peace within your heart. And when there are situations in your life when you are tempted to get flustered, when the devil goes for your shoes, don't give it away. When you're in traffic and you get cut off, or when there's a traffic jam and things are going slow, don't be talking about how bad things are. Say, I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Live in peace. And remember, on the last night of his life, when Jesus was about to be crucified, talk about a storm, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus died for you to have that peace. And no matter what the storm, don't let the storm get in you. And I leave you with the words of Paul the Apostle in prison. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Shalom. Peace be with you. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.